Today we are going to talk about authoritarianism. No, not in China, not in Venezuela, but in the businesses that are in America. American companies. Totalitarians. They're not just in communist countries anymore. They're in whatever you want to call this country, in the United States. It's absolutely remarkable. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for sharing the show. I really appreciate everyone who does that. That really helps get the word out, helps people that need to hear this content get it into their ears, into their brain, and hopefully into their hearts as well. If you want to be part of the network and become a member, support what we're all doing here. I mean, there's such great content here. There's so many great podcasters. Just imagine for a moment if all of the podcast shows that we have on the network just were gone and you never heard from them again. What kind of hole would that be in your life? Well, you can keep that from happening by supporting us. So go over to flfnetwork.com, put in HTBT in the memo field, get a sweet HTBT mug, get a Fight Laughy shirt. Tons of great benefits as well. Don't forget to come to that conference, by the way, Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. It's going to be fantastic. Can't wait to meet all of you there. If you want to email me, Matt at howtobuildatent.com, find me on all the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. I was reading up today about, it's just crazy to think about. I was reading today about the Hong Kong protest, and there was this wall that was of sticky notes, blank sticky notes. Because who in their right mind would put anything on those for the Chinese communists to see? And they were calling it Lenin's Wall. It was a symbol of protest against the Chinese authority, but they and the new national security laws that they have implemented. And they were putting it down, and there's pictures of it, and there's pictures of the Chinese government taking it down. And it had me thinking. It had me thinking when I was reading that. Man, I remember the days when you would hear about these kinds of regimes, that you would hear about these kinds of mindsets of silencing people that are dissenting against the government, dissenting against the powers that be. And they were always far off conversations to have. They were always countries that were, I don't know how to say it, but exotic. They were somewhere very far from anywhere that we were having these discussions in the United States. And we always were thankful growing up that we lived in a free country. And even, you know, when you were super young, you just thought everything America did was great, which is kind of interesting. Then you start growing up, you're like, oh, not everything we did was great after all. Not that I hate America or I'm not thankful for being here. Definitely don't get me. I know. I'm not saying I'm hating on, like, you know, the social justice warriors are and want to burn down our country or anything. But you realize what this country has been breeding over the last 100 years, what this country is producing. And lo and behold, the same day that I'm reading about the totalitarian governments in Hong Kong that are taking down people's protests, that are clamping down, censoring, removing people's opinions, removing people's conversations, once upon a time in a far off land, that I would never think that anything like this would be happening in the United States. I read this article. Google appeared to have removed a large number of news sites from its search pages on Tuesday morning, with Breitbart, Daily Caller, and the National Pulse all affected by the blackout. The search engine powerhouse, which lamented President Trump's election in 2016, published a document called entitled The Good Censor, quote-unquote, was for a period not showing the results for those sites like the National Post, Breitbart, Citizens Press, The Daily Caller, Red State, The Bongino Report, and more. The search engine reached out to the National Post following the publication of the story and insisted that the effects of these technical issues were also affecting left-wing websites such as Daily Kos and Occupy Democrats. I don't think I've heard of the first one, but I definitely heard of the second one, which is just funny. And I suspect about if it did, in fact, censor out those left wing sites. And we see screenshots of the people like saying like you can't see the conservative sites. But I didn't see anything about those liberal sites being censored or having their traffic impacted. It says the search results account for 7% of Breitbart traffic, 8% of the Daily Caller, and nearly 25% of War Room.org. So as you can see, Google has extreme power and has a monopoly on the search engines, I think all the way down at the bottom of the article. Yeah, check this out. As of June 2020, Google has 91.75% market share of search engines with Bing 2.75, Yahoo at 1.7, Baidu, I've never even heard of, Yandex 0.92, and DuckDuckGo 0.49. Wow. DuckDuckGo seems to be really far down compared to the other ones. That's really interesting. And you might be saying, this is a company. This is nothing like China. China is a government. It's a communist regime. This is Google. But when you see this, 91% of the traffic is going through Google. I guarantee you that there is no monopoly in China even that has that kind of market share. I would be shocked. I would be absolutely shocked if the communist regime controlled 91.75% of anything in that country, as far as communication, as far as getting the word out, opinions, what is seen, what is searched, what is read. I would be shocked if they had that much control over the government. And you put this together with what we talked about before with YouTube, with AD Robles and the commercials that he was getting and taking away money from his account because they put worthless commercials. That was my smelly, stinky lesbian show yesterday. My wife, it was so mad that I put that title down, and even madder with my holding my nose screenshot for the, whatever they call it, the picture that you see before you click on the video. But yeah, that was probably worth it just all by itself. This one getting that. Oh, Matt, come on. Why are you having those silly pictures and those silly titles? But getting back to this, I don't think it was a glitch. I don't think it was a software issue. And when you think about code, why would it scrub these sites? You have to have something in the code referencing them to exclude them. You don't just randomly exclude specific sites from the code. And I'd love to hear some people that know more code than I do. I know enough. I know reporting. I know SQL. I know the Excel, Power Pivot, DAX formulas. I understand the concept of coding. I don't know all the languages. I definitely don't know the complex search engines that they have, but I understand the principles. And a code doesn't just automatically remove specific sites like this. There has to be some kind of reference to it. There has to be some kind of, either they're already monitoring it and there was some code specifically for these sites, or they are some kind of shadow banning, or who knows. And anything is on the table. This could have just been a test run to see the public's reaction, because they do plan on doing something in 2020 in the election coming up. And it's just so crazy that the behavior of the Chinese in Hong Kong revolting against the authoritarians are being treated and are acting the same way as Google is acting and treating the people that are against the growth of government in our country. Isn't that funny? Isn't that peculiar that the censorship tool, the censorship actions on the left of both sides, the authoritarians in the communist regime and in the Google regime, are the same? Silencing, attacking free speech. And you have to say, oh, what is the big deal? It's a company. Don't use it. It's the free market. Just think about the impact that Google can have censoring people without you even knowing it. Giving commercials that are irrelevant to one group and commercials that are extremely relevant to one group. Funding for one group, not funding for another. Appearances, hits, clicks for one group. Appearances, clicks, hits for another. What if this blacklist, this blackout, this technical issue happened on election day? You know what they did on Facebook? They had get out the vote for the liberals, and then the get out the vote wasn't so much. It didn't appear quite as much as it did for the conservatives. And there's this one liberal, I forgot his name, back in 2016 was going through this, and he was talking about the power of just doing those slight manipulations can have hundreds of thousands of votes swaying one way or the other. How do we know this isn't what Google is doing? Because they're acting the same way as the Chinese authoritarians in Hong Kong. why do we expect them to not do that? We would expect China to do that. We would expect China not to have free and fair elections. We see that in Venezuela. We expect that in countries like Russia and in Iran. And we see those same behaviors. So why would that be a bridge too far for Google? Why would that be a bridge too far for the company that took away from their motto, do no harm? Why would we expect that when we see the kinds of games that these people are playing? And on top of that, is these are the same people, the same mindset that is in government. I couldn't believe this. This is another article that I saw today coming from my hometown of California, my home state. Buffalo wings are no longer a meal in California because they have all these shutdowns. If you are a bar that only serves alcohol, then you had to close. But if you served alcohol but also had food, you could stay open. So the bars started serving food that didn't, I imagine. And now the state is deciding what constitutes a meal. Again, if you heard this where you said there's this state that is telling people what is a meal and what is not a meal, you would think I was talking about China. You would think that I was talking about some communist authoritarian regime. But no, we're talking about a democratically elected authoritarian regime. Democratic socialism. It acts the same way. It is the same thing. So much so now that Gavin Newsom, a California governor, is dictating what constitutes a meal and what doesn't for the sake of shutting down businesses. There's a whole list. Pretzels, nuts, popcorn, pickles, chips. Food ordinary served as appetizers or first courses such as cheese sticks, calamari, chicken wings, pizza bites as opposed to pizza. Egg rolls, pot stickers, flautas, cup of soup. Small portion dishes that constitute a main course when it is not served in full portion or when it is intended for sharing in small portions. Such side dishes such as bread, rolls, french fries, onion rings, small salads, mashed potatoes, vegetables, refrigerated or frozen entrees, and desserts. Those do not constitute meals for Californians. And the government said so. But why can't they do this? They've already told you to cover your face. They already told you you can't sing and worship. They're already telling you what is acceptable forms to worship your God. Why is this a bridge too far? And Google, the company that supports these people, that votes in these people, that finances these people, that donates to these people, to donates to this mentality, that is this mentality. That is no different than the Chinese. Why do we think that these big businesses are not authoritarian regimes, just like the government in China? And they want those same mindsets that they have, that I've illustrated here in these articles. They want those people as president. They want those people as judges. They want those people as congressmen. Until they don't need any of them anymore. And it can be a legacy president that is reelected for 100 years. That's what they want. They look at China and they make deals with them because they want to be them. They don't see anything wrong with the Chinese government. They admire it. You can do all of these things. How great. You have that much control over your billion people. How wonderful. I want the same. I'm going to run my company the same way. I'm going to support the politicians the same way. I'm going to vote in. I'm going to donate to politicians in the same way. And yet Christians do nothing. They Romans 13 it. We need to wise up and stand up and start realizing that all of these little things are exactly what the communist regime does, guys. These businesses matter. What they do matters. It's not just the free market. This isn't free market principles. This isn't just, well, that's just how the election went. This isn't, well, we just need to submit because, you know, anything the state does, as long as it tells us not to sin, which I would argue, if you're not worshiping God, if you're not singing God, if you're listening to how the state tells you to worship God, that is sinful. That is sinful. And at this point, if you are not opening your churches and worshiping, I think that's sinful. I don't think that you've evaluated the data. I think you're manipulated by whatever the government is saying. Maybe you haven't done enough research. Maybe you're being lazy. Maybe you just don't have the insight. You're not getting the right counsel. I don't know what it is, but you should be opening up your churches. If the people can riot on the streets and celebrate their religion, then we should be in our churches worshiping the true and living God. The contrast by itself is worth it. But more than that, it's simply that God has called us to do it. I love the founders guys on their YouTube channel today on their video saying it's just simple. Like, are you going to listen to the state mandates? Are you going to listen to God's mandates in the Bible? Who are you going to serve? Choose this day who you serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I invite you to make that declaration with me. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.